Carbach Brewing Company presents Sports Talk 790 Astroline.
Astroline.
The official off-season show of Astros baseball.
World Series champions!
This is where we talk about your champs. Join the show. Post your questions and comments on social media. Just be sure to hashtag Astroline.
See you later!
Go Astros!
We're Championship City.
Live from Plucker's Wing Bar on Shepherd. Sports Talk 790 Astroline starts now.
Live from Plucker's Wing Bar, you're listening to Astroline, brought to you by Carbach Brewing Company. Hi, everybody. I'm Steve Sparks, one of the Astros radio broadcasters. We've got a cool show tonight here at Plucker's, and it's one of the heroes of the World Championship 2017 Houston Astros, the 23-year-old third baseman, Alex Bregman.
What's up, everybody? How we doing? We're good. Good.
Hey, it's a treat, man. Coming in here, I know you guys have been just painting the town. I mean, you guys have been going across the country. Tell me about some of the exploits. Where have you been since the Houston Astros parade? Where have you been?
Wow, well, we kind of had a blast that night that we won. We had a giant team party, celebrated. With,
upstairs at the hotel.
Oh, yeah, celebrated with everybody.
I may or may not have been there.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on a I was supposed to be on a flight with Jose in the morning to go do a talk show.
Uh-huh.
But I slept in a little bit.
Really?
Or I didn't go to sleep at all.
Oh, yeah.
I went straight to the plane, headed here for the parade, and then went straight up to New York. Went on Saturday Night Live, did Good Morning America, went and toured ESPN. So it's been crazy a little bit, going everywhere, but it. After about a week, we kind of shut her down and started working out and getting ready to repeat in 2018.
All right. Everybody wants to talk about when you go to the New York Stock Exchange and all these things. But for me, growing up on Saturday Night Live, I just want to hear a background story. What's going on in the scenes, the background scenes at Saturday Night Live in New York?
So we're in one room. Miley Cyrus is next to us. Springer Altuve and I are trying
to
sneak over.
Did y'all start
talking to her? We're trying to sneak over there, but her security wouldn't let us in there.
Really?
No, she let us take a picture. But but we're in these back rooms and just watching kind of on TV with what's going on. And then we walk out into the set. They have three different stages. And we were waiting in the audience, listening to them during the practice run. And then
and they
go up.
They gave you a little bit of a script on what to, you're going to
oh,
go
yeah.
out there?
Yeah, they had like our cue cards by the TV. But I think Jose and George and I were too nervous, and we just improvised. So.
You just so you turned into Curb Your Enthusiasm right on the spot.
Oh, yeah. We knew what we were supposed to say, but we kind of just improvised a little bit around it. And Leslie Jones, who did it with us, she's hilarious. She was great. So she took care of us.
All right. What's some of the weirdest things that people have told you since you guys won the World Series? Mm. You come in contact. I mean, even myself. I mean, we're coming in contact. Everybody's still flying high about the World Championships. Tell me a couple of stories, or what's the predominant theme of what people are telling you?
Well, I wouldn't say too many. I haven't gotten too many weird stories. I've gotten more like, hey, here's a picture of our house that was flooded.
Wow.
We were with our family watching the games every day, and it completely took our mind off of it, which was really cool, really great to hear. And I'm glad we were able to provide that for some people.
For our guests here in the audience, Alex here at Plucker's Wing Bar at 1400 North Shepherd Drive, by the way, you can submit your questions to Astros shooting stars. Lauren Blackwell's here. She's the in-game host at Minute Maid Park. You see her on the big screen out there every night on the home games, and she'll ask some of your questions live on the air tonight. And also our social media manager, Danny Ferris, is here, who will provide updates from fans on Twitter and also on Facebook from those using the Astroline, hashtag Astroline. Danny, it's also on Facebook Live, right? We got a camera right in our mug right here.
We got a camera right in front of your face. It's on Facebook Live currently, both of you guys, and a little bit of Boltz action too.
Matt Boltz, so he's our he's the guy that makes things happen. So Matt Boltz, Happy New Year to you, Matt. It's a lot of fun. So Alex is a world champion. You're 23 years old, and you always hear stories. And Dan Marino used to talk about this because he got to the Super Bowl so early in his career. Are people starting to talk to you about, hey, you can't expect this to happen year after year? I mean, as young as you are and as long as you're probably going to continue to play this game, I would imagine a guy like Brian McCann said, enjoy this.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's saying enjoy it. This is special, but I'm telling them why not. Why can't we keep winning all these?
So how many? Were we talking about a three-peat, four-peat? What's going on in the back
of your head? What did LeBron say when he went to Miami? He was like, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Hopefully we turn this into the place to play in the big leagues.
In your mind, what makes this such a good place to play?
Well, I think first off, it starts with the ownership. They do a great job. Our front office does an unbelievable job. The staff, the support staff, and just they draft quality guys. All my teammates are amazing people, and they're fun to be around. Mm-hmm. They work extremely hard, and they want to win. And I think everybody in this organization, from top to bottom, just wants to win. And that's the kind of organization you want to play for. And then again, we also have the best fans in baseball, too, so that's pretty special.
We have great fans. And they waited a while. They're patient fans, 56 years to get their first title. And, Alex, second pick in the draft 3 years ago. What did you know about Houston, Texas at that time? You went to school up the road in Baton Rouge, but what did you know about Houston?
Yeah, I was spoiled. I went to LSU, and we actually got to play in Minute Maid for the Shriners Children's Hospital College Classic. And it was a bunch of fun. As a college kid, getting to play in a big league stadium was really cool. So I got to come here, play at Minute Maid. And actually, I think I played decently well that
you did
that trip. So
did
I was hoping.
Did you get the Landry's Crawford boxes?
No, I didn't. But yeah. I don't remember. Actually, I might have. But I'll tell you this. I think I played well, and I was hoping that the Astros would take me because it'd be perfect right in between Albuquerque and Louisiana, and it ended up working out.
You know what? Both of your parents have been big baseball fans, and you often laud them for their encouragement and their support throughout your life. And your mom took you to all those tournaments when you were in high school, and she was behind you all the way. What have they meant to you, and what's this been like since you guys have been World Series champions for them?
Oh, it's been so special for them. They've had so much fun. But it's just...
Did they get a chance to go to a lot of the postseason games?
They went to every single postseason
every
game.
Everyone.
Actually, my dad missed two. My mom went up to Boston, and then they both were at the Yankees and Dodgers series. But I'll tell you, it's so special to have them there, the sacrifices they've made since I was a little kid. And, you know, my mom now thinks she's famous because every time Correa's wedding proposal's on, she's in the background screaming.
Is she really?
Oh my
she's
God,
in the back?
Oh, my God. And my dad's like, they just won the World Series. Who cares? Let's lock in on them celebrating the World Series. But
that's
my mom's
great.
Like, I'm famous now. I'm in the background of this proposal.
She's in the background. So did you know that Carlos was going to propose after that game?
Oh, yeah. All of us did. We all did. He told everybody. And
so how did he tell you guys? He told you kind of one-on-one, or did he tell you guys in front of the
whole
team?
No, he said, hey, if we win, do you guys mind if I propose? And we're like, when we win,
go for it.
You're good because we're going to win.
Okay, so you and I were on the caravan earlier
today.
So get
that ring ready.
You told him to get that ring ready?
Yeah, so get your ring ready. We're going to win.
That's it? All right.
Yeah.
What if they lost? What was he going to do?
I don't know. Probably break up with her. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Okay, you and I were hanging out at the caravan today. We went to a couple of hospitals. We went to a fire station today. And we're talking about what this team's capabilities are. And you're talking about some things that you're working on specifically. You're not satisfied with what you've been able to do so far as a major leaguer. Share with us a little bit on what you feel like you can improve upon, and specifically with the power.
Yeah, I completely changed my diet, my eating habits, my workouts, flexibility, mobility. All four of those have been just a huge focus of this offseason.
And you only took a week off after the World Series, right?
Yeah, took 1 week off and got right back after it because I wasn't really satisfied. I feel like I can improve a lot driving the baseball. If Altuve is 5'6" and can hit a ball at the center field, I should be able to do the same thing, I told myself. So I decided that I'm going to work on getting my core a lot stronger. And, it's been fun. It's been a great offseason. I've never felt better in my life.
When you talk about your core, and a lot of times, if you're talking about a younger hitter, a lot of times they're using just their upper body. And when your core is stronger, you can incorporate your lower body. It's that link that gets you to some of that power. What are you tapping into to make sure that core lets you incorporate your legs?
Yeah, well, we were talking about earlier how I'm trying to set up my hips correctly. If you see how Altuve sets up his hips, or some of these other guys, they set up their hips in a position to where they can have a clean bat path through the hitting zone and be consistent with it. So I'm really trying to set up my hips in the right way, so that way my hip stays closed instead of spins off the baseball. Mm. So
if it spins off the baseball, that makes what happen to your bat?
You're going to miss high and right and low and left. So you're going to if your front hip spins, you're going to fly out to right field a lot or hit a lot of ground balls to the pull side, which I don't want to do. I want to do the opposite. I want to hit low line drives the other way and hit the Crawford boxes.
We saw the DVD of the World Series highlights. And one thing that kind of caught my eye was the third base coach for the Dodgers mentioning something to you. He said, what's the deal, man? You only go deep off the all-stars, the best pitchers in the world, twice off Chris Sale, once off Kenley Jansen, once off Clayton Kershaw. What is it about those pitchers you're able to lock in and take them deep?
I don't know. I just, when I'm facing guys like Kershaw or Jansen or Sale or anybody like that,
you lock in more mentally?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe you're a little bit more focused. But I think the biggest thing is just not even, like, pretending there's no name on the back of the jersey and going in there and just saying, hey, I'm at the same level these dudes are at. I can compete and go get them.
We're going to play some highlights from some of that stuff. But one thing that I heard in the clubhouse, I think, or maybe you told me toward some portion during the playoffs, was that you were sitting on a changeup from Sale at one point, the one at Fenway Park, right?
Yeah, so I actually got blown up a little bit on TV for this. But
this is so hard to sit on a changeup from a dude that throws like that.
Yeah, he throws 97, but I remember actually Chris Sale was the first guy I faced in spring training last year, and he started me off with a changeup then, went back to the fastball, and then another changeup. So I knew that, and how he pitched me in that spring training at bat was the exact way he pitched me that game. But on TV, they kind of blew me up. They said, oh, look at Bregman. He's acting real cocky in the box against Sale. But he threw me a fastball that was about an inch off the plate.
In or away?
Away. Yeah. Down and away. And I was shaking my head because I was hoping that he would think, like, I was sitting on fastball and I thought it was a ball. But I was sitting changeup the entire time.
But you were trying to deke him into thinking you were looking
trying
fastball.
I was trying to deke him, and the announcer was like, oh, look at Bregman. He's really cocky right now in the box, shaking his head at Chris Sale, who just led the world in strikeouts. And I was really just trying to throw a little deke in there. And then,
You ended up getting a changeup, man.
Ended up getting
I don't know how in the world a guy 23 years old can sit on a changeup from a lefty that throws like that, but you did it. And that was one of the biggest home runs of the entire postseason. So we're going to talk a lot more here with Alex Bregman. You're listening to Astro Line. They're presented by Carbach Brewing Company. Check them out at carbachbrewing.com. We'll be back with Alex Bregman right after this on the Houston Astros Radio Network. Justin Verlander saying before the game, when you're talking about Alex Bregman, you instantly say he's a baseball player. That's the best compliment you can give. You're a baseball player. It means you're complete.
First pitch. And Alex lines this in the left center field. That's a base hit. Fisher around third and coming home. Ethier up with the baseball. The throw to the plate. Not in time. Astros win. Alex Bregman comes through with a walk-off RBI single. And the Astros win 13-12 in 10. They lead the World Series 3-2.
He's a baseball player, Alex Bregman. First pitch, emotional night in extra innings, 13-12, and the Astros go back to Cali with the lead, and Justin Verlander takes the hill.
The Astros get the last big hit, and they are now one win away from a championship.
Well, I don't think I've seen a better game in my entire life. I know, Alex, you're only 23 years old. I've been around this for a little bit. That's probably the best game you've ever seen or been a part of.
Oh, my favorite game ever. It was a blast.
Favorite game? Why wouldn't it be? You got the game winner.
Actually, game seven was more special because we won the whole thing, but game five was
game five,
an all-timer.
Man. Just all the emotions. 5 hours and 17 minutes of just drama, punches thrown in both teams. Both teams are great,
That was
by
a
way.
Great call, by the way, too. You and Ford sound really good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Man, we had a lot of fun. And you guys made it easy and made it a lot of fun because two teams that were on top of their games, two really equally talented teams just going after it. And I mean, it just made things that much better. And when you consider that the team went through Boston, New York, and L.A. in one
game
seven.
First time ever.
Yeah. And to go the distance and win on the road in game seven, man, you can't draw it up any better.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was just a storybook.
How many times are you going to relive that moment? Game five.
I think the YouTube link has like a million hits or something. I think I'm really like 900,000 of them.
How often do you watch it? Seriously, you do,
all
right?
All the time, yeah. Well, my little brother, every time I come back to Albuquerque, he's always playing it around the house everywhere I go. He was at the game along with like probably 20 of my family and friends, and it was actually the first game that his school let him out for. Was game five. His school.
How about that?
Yes, he goes to a strict private school back in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I went there too, but anyway, that was the only game they let him come to. So he'll never forget it.
None of us will either. And we're, by the way, you're listening to Asher Line. We're here at Plucker's Wing Bar. It's brought to you by Carbach Brewing Company. Lauren Blackwell, who's the in-game host at Minute Maid Park, has a couple of questions for you, one in particular about one of your foundations.
Yeah, Alex, we saw a beautiful story about your godson during the postseason. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with him? And Gail wants you to talk a little bit about your autism foundation.
Yeah. Well, this year, actually, we just started. It's called ABs for Odds. And it's supporting autism and Down syndrome. And my godson back in Albuquerque was diagnosed 4 years ago. He's four now. His name is Brady. And he's so special. He's such a special person in my life. And, you know, I FaceTime him probably five times a week. Wow. Whenever we're on the road, he's always calling me before the games. And just to see his smile and his eyes light up, means the world to me. And to be able to help him and help kids all over the United States that have autism is special. We actually threw a baseball camp out here at the Marucci facility here, and we had 120 kids sign up, and we're going to be able to donate. What we do is we donate iPads to schools that help kids with autism. So we're going to be able to donate a bunch of iPads to help those kids out, and it's going to be special.
How can people find out about those clinics?
That will probably be the only one we do this year. We're going to actually have some different events during the season, though, some dinners and stuff around the country. So it should be good, and hopefully we'll be able to impact a lot of lives and bring awareness to it.
You and Jake Marisnik got a chance to do some things up in New York with some of the kids with autism and things of that nature with MLB. Tell everybody about that. And that kind of stroked you to kind of go in that direction, right?
It definitely did. It hit home with me because my godson had autism, but MLB, when we were playing the Yankees, had us up in New York, and we were able to spend time with probably 80 kids out at one of the fields in the city, and we were able to pitch to them, play catch with them.
Just to see their joy.
Oh, just to see the smile on their faces. Mm-hmm. It makes it all worth it. And
little perspective as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
When you have this kind of platform and you're able to reach a lot of people, you have to use it in the right way. And MLB does a great job of putting us in positions to do that, like helping those kids out.
If you want to reach out to Alex Bregman, hashtag Asherline on social media, and our social media manager, Danny Ferris, is here with us. You got a couple of questions, Danny?
Yeah, first of all, we have a comment from the legendary broadcaster Bill Brown about Sparky. He wanted to note how much water you were drinking and how much it helps you be a better broadcaster.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate that.
For Bregman, there's a lot of Bregman, will you be my date to this upcoming wedding? Bregman, are you single? Can you please speak in Spanish? Because they like your accent, apparently. But a real question that came through was, you obviously had a quick rise through the minors. What was your favorite stop along that way?
Well, hopefully I don't offend anybody, but
you didn't spend a whole lot of time at any stop.
Exactly. So I spent a month in Quad Cities, a month in Lancaster, 2 months in Corpus, and then about 15 or so days in Fresno.
What was your favorite?
Had to be Corpus. I was there the longest.
You were there the longest, but Corpus is fantastic.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's the best.
They've got a great stadium. They've got a great staff, and it's just
phenomenal.
It's a good league, too.
First, they run a first-class AA.
They do.
Down there, it's first class, and it is a good league. It's I think that's probably the biggest step from high to double A in the minor leagues. I think that's the biggest step, and until, of course, you jump to the big leagues.
What did you notice at that level that was kind of a big jump? Some of the guys throwing, breaking stuff behind in the count and things like that?
Yeah, the sliders are a little tighter. They got to put them wherever they want them for the most part, and guys throw a lot harder. And
they throw a lot harder in double A?
Oh, yeah. And it's a little bit of a step up, and then once you get to AAA, it's more of the veteran presence. That guys know what they're doing, little pitch ability, maybe not throwing as hard, but they know how to get outs. And then when you get to the big leagues, it's guys who know how to get outs and have the best stuff in the world.
Now, Danny mentioned your ability to speak Spanish, and you're doing some stuff, and we've seen some stuff online about. Mm-hmm. You're teaching some kids some...
White dude Spanish lessons. I'm thinking about starting my own TV show. We'll see what happens. We're figuring it out.
So what does that entail, really?
Oh, well, it took that video actually took a little while to shoot. We were... MLB had Me Too people come into town. And
So is this where the term Spanglish comes from?
I don't know. I'm learning. I'm getting
better.
Because
a lot of guys who are trying to get better, who are going into a clubhouse and trying to speak to some of the Spanish guys or the Latin guys... on the team, have a lot of broken Spanish.
Yeah. Mine's broken too.
You're broken too, but you said you work really hard on your tenses, when your conjugations and things like that, where you don't sound so
bad.
Gringo.
Yeah,
let's say.
I got you.
Right.
Well, growing up, I started learning vocab from like 8 to 18, and okay.
So you know a lot of Spanish.
Know
words.
A lot of Spanish words. Know what they mean.
You know a lot of slang.
Oh, yeah, now I know a lot more slang than I'm allowed to say on air. But being around Marwin, oh, gosh.
I'm That's got to be a lot of slang from Marwin.
Oh, yeah. Him, even Altuve, yeah. Everybody. But it's a good time being able to talk to them in Spanish. I know Beltran even said, he's like, hey, I appreciate you trying to make an effort and speak Spanish. And you know what? I learned a lot. They told me that. All the Spanish-speaking guys told me that they need to hook me up with a Latina girl because that's how I really learned Spanish. So to answer your question from earlier, I am single.
Yes! Yes, you got 17 candidates right here.
we got to see what Twyla says, but we were talking about doing like a date thing. We'll figure it out.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay, when you're going in there and you're speaking Spanish, and this is what I think about, Alex, when you're doing this. When you're hit in a hitting group, and if a lot of people haven't seen batting practice before a major league game, you see four or five guys in a group, they're hitting, and a lot of times you're with Altuve, you might be with Marwin, you might be with Correa, and you got an opportunity to get better and learn things from each other. Why wouldn't you learn Spanish and being able to have good conversations and not miss out on anything?
100%. It started. The whole way this started was Marwin, Altuve, Correa, Yuli, and I are all in the infield taking ground balls. So then after that, we go to hit BP, and all of us are hanging around, and they're speaking 50% of the half the time in English, half in Spanish, and probably day four of us say it. I heard them say my name, and then they were talking in Spanish, and I was like, oh, I know what that means. So then when we were walking away, I was like, hey, so you guys didn't want to just say that in English because I knew everything you were saying. And they're like, oh, he knows Spanish.
Yeah.
And then started a bromance.
You know, they have to respect that. So that's what I love about it. And I've told some young catchers, I mean, why wouldn't you learn Spanish? You're going to get a lot of instant credibility from your pitchers, especially your Latin pitchers, if you learn, and they know that you're in their corner for that. Tell me about Yuli Esquigueriel. He's kind of the mystery guy because he doesn't speak a lot of English around other people. He may speak more so than I know about.
We've been going back and forth. I've been trying to teach him English. He's been trying to teach me Spanish.
But he's super chill, right?
Oh, Yuli's probably the nicest teammate on our team.
Looks like he's about to fall asleep all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
He's mucho viejo.
Yeah. So that
Cansado.
Means very old.
Yeah. He's very tired all the time. He always says, when his hair isn't completely spiked up, la piña, cansado.
Yeah.
Liquidao, he says. It's a different
word.
So
the pineapple's tired. So tell me what he's like. He's a great guy. You said he's one of the nicest guys on the team.
If you polled our team and said, hey, who's the nicest guy on our team? I don't know, what is it, 40-man roster?
Mm-hmm.
40 out of 40 guys say Yuli Gurriel.
Really?
Yeah. So the whole thing during the World Series, He wasn't even talking about that. It's different. But anyway, he's the best teammate I've ever had. Nicest guy.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. I mean, he's become such a fan favorite too, and the clutch nature of his hits.
I'll tell you this: the best thing. If you watch the World Series documentary, it slow mo's this. But when he hits the home run off Kershaw, he looks into the dugout right after he hits it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were crying during that point. Me too. I was crying watching.
You cried, Lauren?
So I watched the documentary for the first time yesterday, and I was fortunate enough to travel all of postseason, so I saw it all firsthand, but watching that just kind of, it made me super emotional, and I had my first breakdown last night when I saw Yuli's home run.
So he hit that home run, and if they slow-mo it from the side, and you see his face, he looks at the dugout, but it was like, that was easy. I do this all the time. and he just started jogging to first base, and it was the best facial expression I've ever seen.
Three run jack.
Off Clayton Kershaw in the World Series to tie the game.
He had a 4-0 lead, and he coughed it up.
Unbelievable.
You guys, that was just remarkable what you guys were able to do. Hey, the Astros spring opener gets underway in just 43 days now. That's on February 23rd at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, which is fantastic, by the way. Make your plans to see the World Series champion Houston Astros in West Palm Beach, Florida. All there is to see and do, visit thepalmbeaches.com. You're listening to Astro Line, presented by Carbach Brewing Company. Check them out at carbachbrewing.com. We'll be right back with Alex Bregman, the third baseman for the Astros, right after this on the Houston Astros Radio Network.
With the second selection of the 2015 MLB Draft, the Houston Astros select Alex Bregman, a shortstop from Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Here's the defense for the Astros. Bregman's at third, Correa at short, Altuve playing second base, Valbuena at first, and Jason Castro back there behind the plate.
Now it's Carlos Beltran, 10th in the American League with a .305 average. First pitch by Keuchel, and Beltran hits it hard to left. Bregman on one hop, he fields and throws the first in time. Bregman getting his first big league chance, and that'll do it for the Yankees. Ground ball up the third baseline, backhanded by Bregman, off balance throw to first, and it's in time. Tough play for the rookie in his major league debut, but he made it look easy.
That's a sparkler right there. The adjustment he made with his feet to come get that one and get that easier short hop. Excellent defensive work at a new position right there for Bregman.
Next pitch is lifted right field, pretty deep. Over toward the line goes Piscotty toward the corner, and that's gone! Alex Bregman, a two-run home run. His first home run as a big leaguer. And the Astros tie it at two.
And he goes oppo to do it. Show off that power.
Welcome back to Plucker's Wing Bar. You're listening to Astro Line. I'm Steve Sparks with Alex Bregman, the Astros' third baseman. And, of course, Astro Line is brought to you by Carbach Brewing Company. Pretty cool to hear some of those stat lines. You get your first major league home run against the St. Louis Cardinals. I want to tell you something that Evan Gattis told me about you, your first major league spring training. And I asked him, and he was in the same hitting group with you guys, were making your wheels around some of the backfields back when it was in Kissimmee. And he was saying, Bregman is shocking me right now because he's not putting the ball in the barrel, and he's mishitting some of these balls, and they're still going to the fence. And he's not a very big guy, but he's got some real power. Where does that power come from?
I don't know.
You really don't know?
I have no idea.
You had it early. I mean, you had it in high school.
I know, but I was also playing in Albuquerque where it's elevation like crazy, and then you pop a ball up and it goes out there. But I don't know. I think, honestly, in college, I really tried to hit the ball on the ground a lot more early.
Swing down through the ball.
Yeah, swing down and hit low line drives, ground balls. And then all of a sudden, when I got into pro ball, the Astros said, hey, no, we want you to hit fly balls and balls in the air and line drives. And started trying to hit home runs, and they started coming.
I know there's a lot of guys from the New Mexico area that have a bit of a chip on their shoulder to feel like the kind of the overlooked type of guys. But there's been a lot of good ball players, different sports, coming from New Mexico. And you were a bat boy for the University of New Mexico, and you had a kid come into town with Arizona State University. You got a chance to see somebody that you wanted to pattern your baseball career or whatever after this guy. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I had no idea who he was at first. I was bat boying for the Lobos. I was probably 9 years old.
And okay.
a guy named Dustin Pedroia was playing for Arizona State, and I was sitting there watching him play, and they're up by like 15 against the Lobos. They're blowing them out. ASU's ranked top five in the country, and Pedroia hits a ground ball to shortstop. He should be out by a mile, but he's busting his butt down the line, dives head first, and he sees the throw go up. See a little 5'6 guy in like dirt, dust everywhere, just a gamer.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I like that guy. He's probably my favorite player on the field right now. Started following his career. Next thing you know, he's in the big leagues with the Red Sox, and he starts off terrible his first year.
That's right.
He's hitting like 118.
Sounds familiar.
And he tells everybody, he's like, yeah, it does. and he tells everybody, he's like, just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. I'm going to kill it. And
then it was the laser show.
Then it was the laser show.
Did you ever get a chance to talk to him?
I did a little bit. You know, he's really good friends with Alex Cora, who was our bench coach. So Cora introduced me to him. Mm-hmm. And we played him, I want to say, 10 games against him this year. So I got to say hello to him a few times. And it's really cool.
Anything stick out? Did you tell him you were the bat boy for UNM back then?
I told him I bat boyed against him, and he's like, wow, I feel old. Shut up, Rook.
That was about it.
No, he's awesome. He's a great dude. He was always very nice and really down-to-earth guy.
I want to ask you about something. Alex Cora, who was the bench coach for you guys this past season, did a great job. He gets the managerial job with the Boston Red Sox. Alonzo Powell, who is the assistant hitting coach for you guys, gets the head hitting coach position with San Francisco. Those guys are going to be missed.
Oh, they're definitely going to be missed. Cora was unbelievable. So good. He knew the game inside and out. And Alonzo as well. Alonzo and Hudge did a great job with our hitters this last year.
Tell me a personal anecdote of Alex Cora and how he really touched what you were doing during the course of the season. You remember anything specific?
He helped me in every phase of the game. Every single phase of the game.
Seemed like a calming influence.
Oh yeah, I was in spring training and my arm was killing me. I had no idea where the ball was going, and we went and looked at video and figured out that I needed to drop down a little bit and throw from the lower arm slot. And since then, it worked out.
He recognized that. He just recognized noticed that it right was away. Coming through naturally.
Yeah, he said, "Hey, let's try throwing from a little bit lower," and all of a sudden started hitting Yuli in the chest. And he made an impact with the scouting stuff too. He noticed things, whether a pitcher's front foot's open or closed, whether or not he's going to pick off or go to the plate. And mm-hmm. We took those things into the games. For example, Game 7, I never would have stole third off Darvish if I didn't have a little.
He had a little tell.
Little tell. So it's just the homework and the preparation that he did was special. And we're going to be missing him along with Alonzo. Alonzo was in the cage with us since 1 p.m. every single day. We show up to the field at 12:31, and we're down there hitting with Zoe. And
you're saying we? Who's there that early? You're one of them. I know that. McCann's there early.
McCann's there super early, doing his homework. Mariznick's there super early.
Mm-hmm. Because I came in on the first bus your rookie year, and I think we were in Baltimore. You're already there. Your clothes are already wet because you've been sweating. You've already been hitting and doing whatever, maybe taking some ground balls. And the first bus comes in, and a couple of the players are ragging on you for
Springer. He's always.
I wasn't even going to say his name, yeah. But he's ragging you for being there so early.
Yeah,
said just relax, rookie. You know whatever it is, but it didn't faze you.
Not at all.
It doesn't faze you because that's what you enjoy doing, right?
Oh, that's what I love. I got to be the first guy there and the last one to leave.
Are you that way? I mean, mentally, yeah. you feel like you have to be the first one there?
I feel like I do. I feel like I'm late if I'm not. So when we're on the road, we're McCann and I or Jake and I or some of the – there's a lot of guys that get there early. Even Altuve gets there really early on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And just we'll all catch an Uber together before the first bus and get there and – whether we go look at video or go hit together, it's a good time. There's a lot of guys that really want to be successful, and that's why our team is good. Everyone wants to get better. Everyone's not satisfied. Altuve is going to come back after winning the MVP this year and be like, I stink. I need to get way better.
The one thing that impressed me the most about Jose Altuve is after he signed a multi-year deal, he may have come in the best shape of his entire life. He worked harder than anybody we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years. After he signed that security deal, And I think you're that type of guy, too. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with the money. You want to be the best no matter what.
You're dang right. I want to be as best as I possibly can at this game and hopefully win as many championships here in Houston as I can.
It's fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's a blast. There's nothing like it.
Well, we're here with Alex Brevin. We have one more segment. You're listening to Astroline, presented by Carbach Brewing Company. We'll be back for our final segment with Alex Bregman after this on your Houston Astros radio network. It's Bregman who popped one into the Landry's Crawford boxes in game one of the division series off of Sale. Got things going for the Astros and en route to that 8-2 win.
Here's the 2-1. And Bregman hits it high in the air and deep to left field. And that ball is gone! Over the monster and onto the monster seats! That's a game-tying home run for Alex Bregman. 3-3!
Boy, he is a big-time player, Alex Bregman. Second time he's taken Sale deep in this series, and none bigger than that in his entire career for Alex Bregman to tie it up for Houston here in the eighth off of Sale. Pretty darn big home run right there, Alex Bregman. Chris Sale, you guys didn't want to come back home and play them game five.
No. We knew we had Verlander on the mound, and we needed to win that one.
You're listening to Astroline, brought to you by Carbach Brewing Company. We're at the Shepherd location for Plucker's Wing Bar, and Danny Ferris, the social media manager for the Astros, has a question for you, Alex.
Yeah, first of all, a lot of people excited that you're single, so shout out to those people out there.
I'm excited.
There's a lot of LSU fans in the chat here, and they want to know, what was your favorite memory from Alex Box?
My favorite memory from Alex Box.
That's a great facility there, right?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable first-class facility. My favorite memory probably was beating Oklahoma. Jonathan Gray, actually, pitched with the Rockies now.
Sure.
Beating them to go to the College World Series my freshman year was really cool. Really,
He was a beast in college.
Oh, my God. He's throwing 100. The first time I ever seen 100 miles an hour in my life. Mm. Every single seat has a button at Alex Box. It is sold out, standing room only, and it's just a special place.
How bad did you guys beat Jonathan Gray that day?
1-0. We had Aaron Nola pitching.
Really?
We actually beat the Astros this year. He pitches for the Phillies.
Oh yeah. How'd you do against Nola in that game?
No, I did.
Didn't you face against Nola in Philly, right?
I was out.
Were you out?
I tweaked my hammy for one day. I was out for a day.
You missed seven games all year, and you missed Aaron Nola.
Yeah, well, they said that all my teammates were giving me a hard time, saying I was ducking my college teammate, trying not to face him. But
I think you were, too.
I wasn't, I promise. I was hot at that time, actually.
Hey, real quick, we'd like to welcome in our listeners from the Sparkling City by the Sea on our most tenured affiliation station in Corpus Christi, 1230 AM Sports Radio. Thank you for your partnership and for carrying the Astros for over 50 years here on the Houston Astros Radio Network. So that's almost the duration for Astros out in Corpus Christi. So big hats off to those guys. I hear you're a great chess player. Is that overstating things?
Well, I was the New Mexico chess champion when I was growing up in high school. So.
New Mexico chess champion in high school. What does that entail? Has there ever been a tournament?
There's a state tournament, and it's like you play until you lose.
Tell me the setup.
There's about, I don't know, a few hundred kids, and you just play until you lose. And
you just go down the line?
It was me against the Senator's kid in the final.
Really?
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't even remember.
Do you have a patented move to start things off?
I would get beat if I played right now.
So you played against your mom a lot, right?
My mom grew up, she taught me how to play, and she would never let me beat her at anything. Whether it was basketball, chess, we were throwing a ball in the backyard, she was trying to strike me out. And she never let me beat her until I was good enough to. So with chess, I finally beat her, I think, when I was like 7th grade, and I was like, all right, I got it. So then I went out and kind of tried out for the chess team, and then you play a thing called like rated matches or whatever around the state and for different whatever school you're at, and then you play in the state tournament.
Were you in a chess club?
Oh yeah, that's what it is, like a chess club, and I didn't lose ever.
So staying away from chess for just a little bit, you feel like you'll be rusty?
Oh my God.
That's the way things go in chess?
I would get beat immediately.
Just like
you don't feel like you're as sharp in chess right now as you should be.
No, same thing with ping pong. Altuve is the best ping pong player in our clubhouse. Uh-huh. He took 3 weeks off and got beat a few times.
By who?
Me and McCullers and I want to say Skip. I think AJ's pretty,
really? Pretty, AJ's good?
He's pretty good. We're about to find out in spring training. We have a ping pong table right by the clubhouse, and Altuve is the best. I will say that. He's unbelievable.
Real quick.
He's good at everything.
Outside of sucking up, tell me about AJ Hinch. Just be normal.
He
just say what you mean.
Is he listening right now?
He's not listening.
He
hates me.
AJ is like AJ believes in his players more than anybody. Like, I got called up. My first at bat, I was getting a standing ovation. By game 10, I was like, boo, send him back down to the minor leagues.
That was my wife.
I know, it was her. I was just telling her that. She was booing me game 10.
Yeah.
But
she's a front runner.
Yeah.
So, seriously, I mean, but AJ's got your back.
AJ's like, no, I know you're struggling right now, but I believe in you. I think you're one of the better hitters on the team. I'm moving you up to the two hole. Mm.
And you're batting seventh or eighth. Yeah. How hard is that on your psyche coming into a major league team? And you've been used to hitting third, whatever, your whole life, right?
Yeah.
Hitting ninth.
Yeah, I was hitting, I think I came up my first game, I hit sixth, and then the next, like, six. A
couple games in the playoffs, you hit seventh or eighth, right?
Yeah, early on, Boston. And then yeah, against Boston, and then against the Yankees and Dodgers, hit second every game, and I don't know. I feel comfortable hitting second. I like getting that many at bats.
What do you think you can improve on?
Every phase of the game.
I get that, but what do you want to improve on?
I want to be one of the best players in the game. I want to be
power. You think you can start lifting some balls? And
I think so. I think improve power numbers. I think. Maybe run more, too, steal more bases.
I want to ask you about that real quick. It seems to me like there's sometimes that players around the league start to back off running because they want to conserve their body. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
100% fair. When I, 2015, I tweaked my hammy a little bit, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to steal any more bases this year. I'm just going to try and hit.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
but in order to stay healthy, stay on the field,
oh,
sometimes running's a liability.
It is. It's tough. It even doesn't seem that tough. Calls. Everyone's like, oh, you play baseball. You go stand at third base for nine innings, and you get one ground ball or two ground balls. But you're locked in on every pitch, and you're cold a lot of the time. And then you have to burst and make it that first quick step. And
it's a lot of strain on your hammies, your quads, and your calves.
Everything, hips. So it's very important that you keep your body in tip-top or shape throughout the whole season.
Lauren, you got anything else?
Yeah, Alex, we talked about when you played at Alex Box, how there's someone in every seat. That place is packed all the time. How would you compare the crowd and the noise at Alex Box and then at Minute Maid, how crazy it gets at Minute Maid during the postseason?
Well, I'll tell you what. Game one of the playoffs, we're playing the Red Sox, and everyone on our team's fired up. It's the postseason. A few guys have been in there before. They played in the wild card game and then played against Kansas City in 2015. But for those of us that have never been on a playoff team, we were like, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be crazy. And it was 10 times as cool as anything I've ever seen. We got in to the stadium, and there was no seat empty, and it was like you get the chills immediately when you run out there. And then they play the national anthem, and we're doing our whole deal, and everybody's going crazy, chanting, like, let's go Stros, back and forth. And it was special. And
then start to get the goosebumps?
Starting to get the goosebumps. And then flash forward a week, and we're playing the Yankees, and it's even 10 times that. Mm. And then Yankee Stadium gives it its best try to match Minute Maid, and they're pretty loud, but we came back for the World Series, and that was the loudest I've ever heard a ballpark in my entire life.
I want to ask you real quick. We're running out of time. Alex Bregman, after Game 5 at Yankee Stadium, you guys lost 3 in a row. Your backs were against the wall. I'm sure dead silence in the clubhouse. Tell me about that scenario and what took place.
Yeah. Beltran talked to us a little bit. The skipper talked to us a little bit.
Pretty short and sweet?
Oh, pretty short and sweet. Just like, hey, remember what got us here? We should be we should be very confident going back home to play these games.
What did that do for your psyche? Did you believe what they were saying?
Oh, 100%. I believed when we went down 3-2 to the Yankees, I believed we were going to win the series the second that we landed in Houston. It just was like a switch turned, and everyone was like, you know what?
Because of what they said or just that
we're
time?
At home. I think because of what they said, but also, hey, we're at home. We got the fans behind us.
We're good.
We got Verlander throwing.
Yep. That helps.
That helps. And you know what? We don't lose at home. We don't lose here. And we're gonna win here, and we're gonna bring the city what it deserved, and that's what we did.
One sentence, Brian McCann. I know you guys are close. Give me a little description. He's just super goofy, right?
I said Yuli was the best teammate ever. McCann is right there. McCann's the best dude ever. He's hilarious, funniest guy in the world. You know, that guy was going through a lot during the World Series just to be able to play every day, and he was grinding for us.
And he'll spend some coin and take you guys out to eat, too.
Oh, wherever we want. Yeah. He calls it a show dinner for the boys. Show dinner on the road for the boys. Wherever we want to go eat, he's getting us, taking all the rooks out and taking care of us. He's the best.
Hey, Alex, we got to get out of here. Thanks a lot for coming in. It's very important for these guys to see you guys. So it's a special night for us here at Astral Line. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Come get some Pluckers wings here at Pluckers.
It's awesome stuff. All right, I want to thank a few people. Lauren Blackwell, the in-game host for the Astros. Danny Ferris, the social media manager for the Houston Astros. And, of course, Bob Elliott back in the studio, who's a fantastic engineer, and he's been doing this for a long time and did a great job. And Matt Boltz, who does things on a nightly basis, gets things done for the Astros, and he's a great partner along with Robert Ford and myself. Next Astral Line will be 1 week from tonight. It's Thursday, January 25th. We certainly appreciate you guys for listening in. So use the hashtag #AstralLine on social media to participate the next time through. I'm Steve Sparks. It's my pleasure to have been with you here on the Astros Radio Network.
Astral Line. You've been listening to Sports Talk 790 Astral Line, the Astros' official off-season show, presented by Carbach Brewing Company. Astral Line. Hear your world champion Houston Astros go for the repeat on Sports Talk 790, home of the Stros.